Hello and welcome to the Mix Air Rap Podcast. I'm your host, DJ B-Wise. This is a podcast where we talk about hip-hop from boom bap to trap. We're a group of hip-hop enthusiasts from multiple eras trying to bridge the gap in hip-hop. All right, party people, we're back at you this evening. We're hoping everybody having a good evening. You know, we're getting ready to get down to it. We're going to hit you with some stream or no stream for Doja Cat and her project Scarlet 2 Clawed. And then we're going to come at you with some heavy hitting talking hip hop. And we're going to go over, you know, the stuff we're going to go over. We're going over that Drake. We're going over that Champagne Poppy. We're going over the Ricky Rosé. So let's jump right into it after we holler at our boy Kev. Kev, how you feeling this evening?
Excited. You know, ready to get things started and, you know, have some fun, man. See how things go.
And that is going to be our stream or no stream of our girl Doja Cat's new project, and that is Scarlet 2 Clawed. I'm going to jump in real quick on this one and then let Kev anchor on this one. Man, let me just say this, man. She was never been on my conversation list as the real hotness as far as female rap right now is concerned. That may be my issue, my problem. I will say this. The track she did with A$AP Rocky, the Tizo Touchdown track, the WYM Freestyle, several of her tracks, she had more variety and more growth than I'm accustomed to seeing her have. The depths of where she went with her bravado rap, with her beef rap, and then with just her overall skill level, I think she pushed several topics into a space that I was not accustomed to. After seeing some of the visuals as well, I thought that she is really making it happen. And I needed to reconsider her being on my top list as far as who's out there right now. You know, she was straddling the fence based on, I didn't know if she was R&B, top 40, real rap, not rap. I didn't know. All I know is that this particular project has opened my eyes. I'm going to start keeping my eye out for her. I hope that my man Kev sees it the same way. And I'm going to jump in real quick, knock this out. It's a stream for me. Definitely a stream for me, just because she woke me up to something I hadn't been onto. Kev, your thoughts?
Oh man, this is a deluxe of her album she released last year. I enjoyed the new songs. I was surprised that she did put out a deluxe. And that seems to be a going trend today where, you know, you release your album and let some time pass and then you add some more stuff on and, you know, just release this deluxe. But I didn't have an issue with it at all. It's a strain for me also. I mean, if I had any complaints, I think it was too... I think she had too many collaborations, but, you know, adding it on to the album last year doesn't seem as bad, but overall, you know, I wasn't the biggest Doja Cat fan either until the Scarlet came out and I gave it a real good listen, and I was totally surprised by how much I really enjoyed it. I think we discussed it on the show last year, so it's just like it was a continuing trend that, you know, this doesn't, you know, I mean, granted, it's new songs, but it does give you that vibe that it could have been recorded at the same time as the album. So that's why, you know, if you like the album, you're going to like these songs because they all blend in together. And Doja Cat, I think, you know, I mean, you know, I know she's not the type of person, but I wish she would kind of let us know what avenue she wants to be in. Do she want to be pop? Want to be rap? I mean, but you know, that's just me being nitpicky. But but I mean, she could do both. You know what I mean? She could do both, and it's not an issue with that. But I think a lot of people are going to look at her as more as a pop star than a rap star, even though now I feel like she is putting a little bit more focus on the rapping per se. But you know, she's capable of doing both. I mean, she's a mega star and she's doing her thing, you know, to still be putting out music on a regular basis and to still want to jump the genres. Cause she don't want to put herself in a box. And I think that's amazing for her and even for her fan base and just music as a whole, because you don't know what to expect from her. So, I mean, like I said earlier, it's a definite strength for me. And I can appreciate what she's doing with her music.
All right, Kev, appreciate that. That's what's up. As you both, you know, party people, as you all have heard from both of us, we think you should go out and stream it. Let us know your opinion. You know, you guys can hit us on social media. We are at Mix Era Rap at all social media platforms. We are finishing up loading up our stuff for Facebook. So definitely check us out on there as well. But we're on Instagram, TikTok, all of that, you know, holler at us on that. And that was our stream or no stream of Doja Cat's project, Scarlet 2 Claude. Now we're getting ready to move on to our next topic, and this is where the nitty-gritty falls in at, and that's going to be talking hip-hop. I'm going to start off this one and let Kev just take it away, but the first thing we got to talk about is Drake's apology. What does it mean for the top three or top five's list? Kev, take it away.
You said Drake's apology. You mean J. Cole's apology? J. Cole? Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just feel like it was very unnecessary. It's, you know, I think because of Tupac and Biggie, anytime you get two rappers that beef, those two are going to get brung up because the assumption is that it's going to be bigger than rap or bigger than music. When, I mean, we want to be honest, the majority of so-called rap beefs are just music based. I mean, you might have a fight here and there, but it's so many rappers that beef with other rappers. And, you know, like I said, it's barely a fight. You know what I mean? And that's not a knock on them, but, you know, when you do have a tragedy like a Tupac and like a Biggie, it can make you side-eye other beefs. But in the case with J. Cole, I just think that I think a phone call was made. I think someone reached out to him and had words to say to him about the song he made. If I had to guess who it was, I think Kendrick called him. I think Kendrick called him and told me cut too deep. And I'm surprised no one else has brung that point up. But that's just my honest opinion. I don't have no inside track on anything. But when he hit the line about Kendrick's catalog, I think that, you know, it was something he couldn't look past, and he probably had to address it because it was very personal outside of just words back and forth. I wish he wouldn't have did it. You know, that's just my personal opinion, because it was I don't think he had any bad intentions of what he said. And even on the mixtape, I think he kind of like show love to Kendrick at least once or twice.
Yep.
No one talks about that either. And it's just, you know, did you really listen to the mixtape or you just went straight to the end to listen to that one song? And if I'm not mistaken, I think the mixtape went number one or number two or something like that. It charted real high. But yeah, like I said, I think it was unnecessary, you know. It wasn't needed. Like, no one know, you know, everybody know them two, not gonna throw no hands or escalated to something more. It should have been something for Kendrick to come back to say in music. You know, I think they should have had a conversation and have been like, hey, I think you cut deep, but I'm gonna come back and get you, because it's all competition at the end of the day. It's, you know, you could say how humble someone is, but everybody wants the top spot. The top spot equals recognition and money. So, you know, you might have $1 million in the bank. Do you want 10 million? Hell yeah, you want 10 million. You want more money. To be the top spot, you got to get, you get more money with the top spot. So, I don't know. It's somewhat disappointing. People today can have short memories. So, J. Cole looks bad today, but if his next album is just, it blows everybody away, I think people will forget this apology. But until his next album or what he does next, I don't know. I almost feel like this apology is going to linger, and I don't know how it's really going to affect the rest of his career. But overall, you could have stood your ground. It's like you if I'm, what I'm saying is right, you could have had that private conversation, the private apology, and then your statement at your festival could have been, hey, everybody, this is just about music. You know, don't think we're really beefing, or it's more than words back and forth. You could have worded it some way like that. You got publicists on your, you know, hopefully you got publicists on your staff that could have helped you write something up to make it sound better than all out how bad you feel for what you said. Like, you had time to sit there and write it, listen to it, record it, have other people listen to it, and get other people, you know, get, you know, other people's feedback and opinions and still release it. So you had a good 2 weeks, you know, a good 2 weeks to figure out your next course of action, and you could have stopped it. But within that 2 weeks, you did all this work, went through this whole process, put it out there, and because someone did thought you cut too deep, you thought it was whack to do. And it, you know, J. Cole loves to use dissing other artists as a marketing tool for his new albums. What are you going to do now? Like, if you can't use that as a marketing tool, you got to come up with something else, because we're expecting a song where it either has subliminals or full out diss towards someone, because then we know you're in album mode. And we can kind of get hype and excited for what you're about to do now. But are you doing diss records anymore? So it's kind of like, you kind of, I don't know. Like, your album has to be outstanding for people to forget this public apology.
Yeah, man. You are so solid on that one. It's a tough one, man. Like you said, it was unnecessary. I don't think he needed to do it. I'm starting to believe your conspiracy theory on the Kendrick Lamar call. I just, you know, in this day and time, man, as much as this was needed for the big three to do, that was not the best move. Again, the fall off is going to have to be his his, you know, his King's disease, like Nas. Because, I mean, you can't take the beautiful thing about what happened with Nas is he didn't take a bunch of L's. His albums didn't sell great, but he still usually had at least one or two cuts on it that kept him relevant in the game. He never took a challenge or never backed down from a challenge. A lot of people still think that he won the battle against Jay-Z. So, you know, he did what was necessary. And a lot of us was hoping that J. Cole would be the Nas, the long-term guy, the guy, you know, like I remember when I was coming up in the 80s, it was Michael Jackson and Prince. And everybody was on Michael Jackson because he was hot at that moment, super hot. Don't get me wrong, Prince had his time in the 80s. But as the years went on, you know, Prince just kept inching away, building his catalog. And, you know, Michael stopped. And that allowed everyone to appreciate Prince's greatness. I will say the same thing has happened with Jay-Z and Nas. Jay-Z was fire. Everything he was putting out commercially acceptable. Everybody enjoyed it. It was the thing, you know. He was the it dude. Everybody wanted that love for Jay-Z. And, you know, Nas just kept trucking along. He had one or two little, you know, notable tracks and cuts, even notable albums. And then they had their beef. But then after 444, guess what? Here comes King's Disease. And then here comes Magic. And then King's Disease 2, Magic 2, King's Disease 3, Magic 3, you know? It is something that we hope for J. Cole. So, again, I'm just hoping the Fall Off is going to be an amazing project. He's put a lot of work into it. I hope that he brought in some other production pieces than Dreamville producers. That's going to be a big deal. I think that people, don't get me wrong, he's a great producer. The Dreamville guys who help him with production are great, but you need a little something extra in this day and time. You know, the formula that's kept Drake on top all this time has been not just 40, but he's utilized other people. So again, in this conversation, we think it hurt him. I think we both agree on that. And he just got to figure it out, man. This is a tough situation. And let's just hope that the Fall Off is that great that he doesn't, you know, lose too much of a step. All right. So now we're going to move on to the Drake diss and see where we are on that. I'm going to jump in and start that one off first and just say that, hey, you know, I think that the only mistake he made was that you can't, he can't continue to do what he's been doing as far as getting so, he's, you know, bringing in people's wives. He just can't do that. That always puts him in the bad spot. And I don't know if he can take too many more L's. Pusha T gave him the L. And Kendrick, you know, Kendrick's skill level is better than Pusha T. So if he gets some secrets and information on Drake, he's going to be able to present a much harder, you know, expose on Champagne Poppy. So, you know, I just, you know, you can't wake a sleeping beast like this. I know, you know, I'm saying sleeping beast based on the fact that the little diss that Kendrick did is not anywhere near as bad as it could have been. So we're gonna let Kev jump in and see where Kev's mentality is on this, just because you know, hey, Champagne Poppy, he's always up for a fight. So let's see how it goes down.
I'm kind of torn. I think Drake has done better. And it is, you know, and I think they said it was a Kendrick I think it was one of some Kendrick reported leak was actually done by AI. So now we got to deal with that. Are these diss tracks even really real? And that's scary. That's just scary how the future, what the future is going to look like if someone can just go in and pull their laptop up and release a diss track. And it's not even really a diss track. And nope. Future is scary. The future is scary. And, you know, we're watching what could be the actual demise of just not just rap, but just music as a whole. Because if this guy can create a Kendrick diss track, and then we had the white guy that did the black rapper that went, that was charting, and it was a damn, it was another AI thing, and he was charting with that. It's scary. But I say all that to say that, you know, Drake has made better songs and he has made better diss records too. So I don't know. It didn't feel finished to me. It just felt like something, you know, he just threw together and probably said, well, let me listen to it. And then, you know, I can make my changes here and there. And he probably didn't get around to changing it, and someone just released it just to get in on the hype. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It just don't feel finished to me. It don't feel finished. But I think that with Rick Ross kind of jumping in at the moment, it helps Drake more than anything, because Drake can put out anything, and he'll probably be better than Rick Ross. Not the fact that Rick Ross can't rap, but Rick Ross is not a beef artist. He's not good at dissing other people. We've seen the many years of how he looks like a loser going up against 50 Cent. So that's not his avenue. That's not his avenue. So, you know, Ross is a good party rapper, and he's good at rapping about food. I'll give him that. And he's good at throwing words together in a unique way that sounds good, if that makes sense. But beef is not his thing. So outside of, you know, J. Cole and Kendrick, it's because they're not really responding to nothing Drake is doing right now, and Rick Ross is mainly the only one, it's like, man, Drake's garbage is, you know, mid-level Ross material. They, you know, they're on the same level. So I don't know what's next for Drake. I mean, I don't think he's going to necessarily, you know, kind of go at J. Cole with him, with just the both of them just coming off tour together. So if he does do a diss track, I know he was trolling Metro Boomin. Him and Future may have had some issues. So it's like, you know, Metro Boomin, Future, maybe Kendrick. Definitely Rick Ross. I mean, outside of the bigger names, that's about it. Unless Pusha T decides he wants to address Drake again. And me personally, I think Drake held his own against Pusha T. That's just my opinion. But we've heard better from Drake. But what's next? Like, is anybody but Rick Ross is going to respond? Because that's the only way I think that Drake would step his bars up, if it's somebody else outside of Ross.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you actually sliding us into that, because that was going to be my next topic as far as this talking hip hop thing goes. And that is, yeah, man. is Ricky Rosé really relevant in this? You know, he's not anybody's top five current rapper as far as, you know, the top five best out there. I thought his sideshow was kind of funny. I thought that it was it's refreshing to see, you know, people wanting to get into this but not take it too crazy. And I enjoy the fact that he did it meme wise, and that keep it funny like that. I think that Drake, well, we'll see by the end of the weekend, but I think that Drake not responding is amazing, because it's a level of disrespect that's needed. It's like, dude, I'm not responding to you. You're not worthy of me dissing you. I gotta worry right. about Kendrick.
Right, right. He getting ready for something else.
Yeah. So I'm
another hype. Yeah, another one down the line. So I mean, but it's gonna be interesting. You know, what's next? Does Ross jump out there and try to get at somebody else? It's an interesting time because, like I said, everyone's trying to get that top spot, and they're not afraid to publicly challenge for it. But at the same time, we're seeing that the guys at the top are actually responding to those under them and those on their level, and it's a lot at the same time. It's not just, you know, just these two people, these two big names kind of going at each other and mm-hmm. everybody's in a wait and see mode. No, it's like these two names, big names going at each other. This person jumps in and this person jumps in, and you know, you see all these people jumping in. So it's going to be interesting, really interesting to see how the next 2 to 3 weeks play out. Who responds next? Mm-hmm. What big name will have an impact? So, but yeah, Ross ain't it, man. Nothing against Ross, but he ain't it. This is not his fight. This is not his fight.
Exactly, exactly. So I will say the Champagne Poppies memes on Metro Boomin are amazing. I think this will wake up Future, and you know, Future and a beef is a thing. So we'll see how this plays out. I think, you know, Future's known for being in the studio day after day after day. And I think that Future can come back with something pretty quickly. So we'll see what happens in the next few days. I think we're going to see something, if not midnight tonight or later this week. We'll see how it plays out. But definitely, I think we're going to get some motion this weekend. And we just had to come at you, you know, with this after all the smoke had settled, because, you know, everybody was giving their 2 cents, and it's not always the best to be first. First is great, and I get the Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last, but sometimes sitting back and surveying the landscape is a little better. That way you come in with a little bit more information and able to make a better decision. So, you know, with that, we're going to finish this up, our Talking Hip Hop, with just something that near and dear to my heart. And that's the passing of DJ Mr. C and the passing of Rico Wade, the main man for the Dungeon family. And man, you know, it's a tough thing for so many of our young, to me, again, I'm what hip hop was made for. You know, those brothers in 70, they made hip hop to save my life. And that's the age range Mr. C is. That's their age range. Rico Wade is, you know, us guys in our 50s going into our 60s, you know, the guys in their 60s are who made hip hop for us. So I've just, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. I'm gonna let Kev jump in, and I'm gonna anchor this one. Kev, your thoughts.
Anytime we do lose a member of hip hop to what could be perceived as a sudden death, and for these guys to be so young, I think Rico was what, 52 or something like that. He's very young, early 50s, and just to see, I think it was what, later, close to, he wasn't 60, he was like 56, 57. Yeah, so these two guys in their 50s, such huge impacts in rap, you know. and they really don't get the credit that they actually deserve. And it sucks that we won't have the opportunity to give them their flowers while they're still here. Mr. C, I think he kind of had, I read a story about how he had this resurgence in his career. He had a very successful show on Rock the Bells Radio that they were about to, give him another opportunity to create another show or something else. I think that was fantastic. You know, like I said, Mr. C was, he was such a New York icon. Fans outside of New York were able to figure out about him because of like Big Daddy Kane and Notorious Big, but he did so much more for rap. And for a lot of people, he was a regional guy, but there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, but he still had an incredible impact. And just like Rico, man, just looking at just the Atlanta rap scene, man, he kind of planted his flag in that. You know, he's not the guy that got it popping, but his studio kind of created the biggest names to come out of Atlanta. When you talk about the Outkast and the Goody Mob and Future, because I think him and Future are cousins, or that's his nephew, yeah, something cousins. Like that. Yeah, they're cousins. So, I mean, that's it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nothing against no one else, but I mean, you know, Outkast is considered like the greatest duo of all time. Goody Mob has a great career. CeeLo has a phenomenal solo career. And, you know, Future is like, you know, it's not too many artists in music that has as many number one records as Future. Like, phenomenal. And he has all this success in the world. And, you know, Rico Wade has put, you know, his backing and his support and the use of his studio and his production and his, you know, these relationships that he has with all these Atlanta artists has been able to give Atlanta this this staple in rap. And to lose that is it's sad and it sucks. And you know some people might feel like he's doesn't have the impact that he once did, but Atlanta doesn't see it that way. You know what I mean? And you know, he was big and important for Atlanta. And this is, you know, a lot of people outside of Atlanta might look at him as a regional personality, but you know, Mr. C and Rico Wade were more than regional talents and personalities. And it just sucks, man. It just sucks that we can't, you know, love on our heroes and you know, really celebrate them while they're here so they can see it, because they do deserve that. And I wish Hip Hop 50 could have did more. I just wish it could have did more, because I think that if Hip Hop 50 was better organized, we could have celebrated Mr. C in a proper manner. We could have celebrated Rico Wade in a proper manner. We could have celebrated, you know, Kool Herc, him getting that award. It just sucks how the reaction that he received getting that award. And this is pretty much the man that kind of, you know, set it off for everything that we're talking about. And you know, it's a lot more rap fans today don't know about the Mr. C. They don't know about the Rico Wade. Don't know about the Kool Herc. Red Alert. Barely know about Kid Capri. And I mean, these guys are old, man. You know what I'm saying? These guys are old, 60, 70 mm-hmm. years old. And, you know, and if you blink, we're going to lose another one. You know, not to wish death on anybody, but, you know, you know, at, you know, when you get up there, man, you don't have that much longer. That's to be real. So we, you know, go out here and do your research and talk to an old head and let that old head, you know, give you some of that knowledge and that information and tell you about some of the music that they listen to and their heroes, because we're going to be doing this again. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be doing this again in another 2 years, man. We're going to be sitting here talking about the passing of another iconic, impactful member of rap that a lot of people don't know about or never heard of, or they got to go Google to see, you know, why this person's death is mentioned. When we should be at the point now where just saying someone's name should be enough to say, oh, I know who that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we, you know, we got 50 years and it's still blind. And that's the purpose of this show, to educate, to share knowledge, to bring, you know, bring us closer together, man, because it's so important, because it's just so important, man. Like, you know, you know what? The BET Hip Hop Awards should do a tribute to a legend every year. I don't think they do it. It doesn't have to be an award or anything, but just it could be a certain segment of the show to say, you know, let's show love to this artist for this type of impact they did. I mean, even if it's you want to do the FUBU guys, you can do that. We could do a Kool Herc. We could do a Red Alert. You could do a Fat Boys or a Heavy D or whoever. I think our legends deserve that, because, you know, we don't give a good representation of what our legends have done and the impact. And, you know, they're leaving us. You know what I'm saying? They're leaving us. I mean, either they're passing away or they just getting out the scene because they're not getting that love or they're not getting that recognition that they deserve. Because, like, I mean, like, if you look at now, a lot of the rap today is samples from the 90s and from the 80s. And if you sampling somebody, how do you not have them in a video or at least in a product, even like in a promotion picture or something? You know what I mean? That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. Like, if I sample, like when Coi Leray did that player song, when she sampled Grandmaster Flash in the Furious Five, I'm not sure if she did a video for it, but if she did, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five should have been in that video. I know that's my opinion, and I think it sucks that we didn't see, well, I haven't seen anything of her in some sort of relation with them. So I think those guys deserve it. I think they should have. I think that we should let our vets know, man. I mean, yeah, some of them are angry, but we shouldn't be sitting here trying to, you know, tell people about the impact of Rico Wade and Mr. C. People should already know that already.
The issue at hand for any of these young men to try to explain to you guys, you know, it's not natural for, you know, people to be leaving the planet in their 50s at such a high rate. You know, I was just looking at some of the names from the last few years since the 2020s, and it's scary. MF Doom, DMX, Biz Markie, Black Rob, Prince Markie D, Shock G, DJ K Slay. It's wild, man. It's wild. Mr. C. And you just, you know, it seems like that next generation that I'm in is the generation that we're losing, you know. Coolio, he's more of the initial generation, but, you know, he's definitely in there as well. and he's passed on. You know, it is something that we really have to start looking at as a problem, because it doesn't make a lot of sense. It really doesn't. It just doesn't make a lot of sense what's going on out here. You know, we got Trugoy, Magoo, Trugoy from De La Soul. It's wild out here, man. And we really just need to figure this out. You got the 45 King. Oh, wow. DJ Casper. This is just, you know, as I'm looking at this again, I keep forgetting about that. You know, all I ask is that you pray for their families to continue to have strength. I can't forget Kango Kid. Man, it's a lot of my heroes and a lot of my contemporaries who've passed on over the years, you know, and I thank the Lord every day for the blessing of another day on this planet. And we just want to thank you all for listening. We're here to help you curate your sound so that you know that you're listening to what really matters in this thing we call hip hop. Answer the question, stream or no stream, of Doja Cat's new project, Scarlet 2 Claude. On our social media platforms, that's, you can find us on all of them. I'm talking about Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, we're Facebook, we're on there. So definitely check us out on those platforms and answer the question. You know, if you have any questions or topics that you want us to go over, let us know. But, you know, we're going to come at you with the stream or no stream as much as we can whenever there's new music that we think is notable for you guys to listen to. We'll hit you with the stream or no stream, or if it's a valid artist that we need to stream or no stream on it, you know, to let you guys know if this project is worthwhile. I need you guys to understand, man, we've been in the game behind the scenes for many years. We are definitely enthusiasts, but we're also a part of this industry. We are what's hip. We are hip hop. So, guys, man, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you. We'll see you guys real soon. This was our Talking Hip Hop. And we will holler at y'all real soon. We out of here.